The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. Hey, if you've missed an episode, or you find any of the information we talk about today helpful to a friend or a family member, send them to our website, ericstewartgroup.com, or find Pointing You Home on Spotify. So, how can you give your child your home tax-free? I've thought about this over the years, thought, well, maybe if I give away a certain portion of the house each year to my daughter or my son or my family, give away individual pieces of it, like, under the IRS guidelines, you can give a gift of a certain amount of money to your kids and it will be tax-free to your children. So maybe give a portion of the value of your home that equals the same amount that the government would allow you to give them, and then continue to do that year after year after year until you no longer actually own the property, but your kids own the property. There's an easier way to handle this. So if you're gonna be below $11.4 million in your federal estate gift and estate tax exemption is now $11.4 million in 2019, the best strategy is simply live in your house until you pass and let the kids inherit it. Now, I'm not an accountant, I'm not an attorney, but I'm basing this information on an article out of MarketWatch by Bill Bischoff, which was published back in February of this year. So adult kids could actually inherit a property and have no federal tax, assuming that the combined amount of your entire estate is below $11.4 million. This is the strategy. When you die, your home's tax basis will be stepped up to whatever the fair market value is as of the date of your death. Okay, so you and your heirs will escape capital gains tax on all the appreciation that occurs up to that date. So because the value of your estate is below the estate tax exemption of $11.4 million, your heirs will no longer owe any federal estate tax. And they're free to move into the house, sell it, keep the cash while owing little or no tax to the feds, thanks to this basis step-up rule. So if they do move into the house, then their tax basis for calculating the gain or loss on the subsequent sale will be the home's fair market value at the time of your death. So their appreciation will begin at what the fair market value is as of your death, and if it increases from there, they'll have to pay capital gains tax under the current guidelines at that time. It's a much better strategy than gifting your house to heirs while you continue to live there. Because even if you pay a fair market rate rent to your child for living in a house that they own, the IRS could argue that the home's full date of death value still belongs in your taxable estate. And the only way, sure way, around that problem is with a qualified personal residence trust, which is explained later in the story by Bill Bischoff. So if you want to check it out, go to MarketWatch, look for Bill Bischoff. That's B-I-S-C-H-O-F-F if you want to get more information. And you could just give the house to your kids. Okay, remember, you can do an annual gift, which right now happens to be $15,000 per year that you could give your kids where they will not have to pay tax on receiving that. You've already paid taxes, you turn around and give them money, you can give them up to $15,000 and they can receive that tax-free. You give them more than that, not only did you pay tax on the money, but then they have to pay tax on the money above that. Now, for some of us, some of you perhaps, that's an option that you take advantage of because you have plenty of money to do that. But for the majority of us, if you're giving money, you want to stay within that boundary of $15,000, but why not consider the previous suggestion? Just live in your home, age in place, give it to the kids as a result of the inheritance that they're going to receive. You could sell for a bargain price, and you probably thought about that too. What if I just sell them the house for, $100? If you sell your house to a perfect stranger that way, hey, the IRS doesn't care a hoot. You can sell it to anybody for any amount of money you want to that they're willing to pay you. But when you do that with your kids, the IRS will scrutinize that and they will tax the difference between the fair market value for that property and what you gave it to them. And they'll come after you, so be careful, okay? More ideas, feel free to reach out to us at ericstewartgroup.com. So what about inheritance taxes? What kind of questions do you have about inheritance taxes? We just chatted about inheriting real estate, but let me define this for you. Let's chat a bit about this, okay? Inheritance taxes are the taxes that a person needs to pay on money or property that they inherit after the death of a loved one. And the basics are, it's a state tax you pay when you receive money or property from the state of a deceased person. Unlike the federal estate tax, the beneficiary of the property is responsible for paying the tax, not the estate. However, as of 2018, there are only six states that impose an inheritance tax, and even if you live in one of those states, many beneficiaries are exempt from paying that. Now, the key difference between estate and inheritance taxes lies in who is responsible for paying it. An estate tax is levied on the total value of a deceased person's money and property, and is paid out of the decedent's assets before any distribution to beneficiaries. However, before an estate tax is due, the value of all the assets must exceed certain thresholds that change each year, but generally, it's at least $1 million. Because of that threshold, only about 2% of taxpayers will ever encounter this tax. Okay? So, be aware of what the state exemptions might be, what the inheritance tax exemptions might be. For instance, depending on the relationship you have to a decedent, you might receive an exemption or reduction in the amount of inheritance tax you have to pay. For example, most states exempt a spouse from the tax when they inherit the property from another spouse by tenants by the entirety. So you inherit, you buy a house together by tenants by the entirety. If one of the spouses dies, the other spouse automatically receives the whole property, becomes theirs without any tax due because the ownership was established as tenants by the entirety. Tenants in common means two people are purchasing real estate. They are retaining their equal share of whatever value is received from the sale of that property upon death. Often that occurs when you have a late in life marriage, second marriage, where you bring assets into the marriage and your spouse brings assets into the marriage that you don't want the new spouse to have a piece of because you want to protect the interest of your children that came from your first marriage, right? Children and other dependents might qualify. They might qualify for the same exemption, though in some cases only a portion of the inherited property might qualify. So check with a financial advisor for more information on that. God knows that I love my music. How is your love of music? Do you know the story of music in the Washington, D.C. area? There's a musical history of Washington, D.C. that was written by a local resident.
By the name of?
Mark Opsasnik is his name, Ken. Yes. We've had to take this a few times practicing this pronunciation because it's a tough name to say. Now, if you looked at the way it's spelled, you'd understand my challenge. So, hey, this guy put together a musical opus called Capital Rock, which was published back in 97, revised in 2002, which covers the story behind rock in the Potomac River Basin. So popular music, earlier rock and roll in the Washington, D.C. area. He's recently provided a new compendium of musical history that he's pulled together. He didn't think there would ever be anything more he would write, but he's just created a new book which tells the story of music in our region going back into the 18th century and forward to the rock era. It's 812 pages. It's £3, folks. If you're looking for a good book stop or something to climb into bed with and read and fall asleep, this is the book. There's no index, so you have to just sort of find your way through it. But if you love interesting information about vaudeville, big band, hillbilly, Negro, which is what it was called then, and that's why it's called that now, and other sounds that percolated in and around the Capitol, you should read the book and take a look at it online. Again, that book is called Rock the Potomac, Popular Music and Early Era Rock and Roll in the Washington, D.C. Area. Okay? All right. More information online at Amazon.com. There goes my heart, breaking in two. Hey, if you've ever heard of broken heart syndrome, It is an occurrence that takes place when a loved one's spouse passes and your heart breaks because of it. I interviewed Dr. Yuri Daychak for Widow Care, which is a local 501c3 nonprofit that I run in the metropolitan area to help widows and widowers during their time of distress. And Dr. Daychak explained to me how broken heart syndrome happens physically and what is the impact on you when you are in a great time of sadness physiologically on your heart. When I get back in the second half of the show, I'll share that. Plus, if you've ever wondered what the top 15 home features would be that would sell your home fast and for more cash, I'll cover that too. Stay with me on Senior Solutions right here on WMAL.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tote enough. Too much stuff.
Could you actually die of a broken heart? Well, cardiologist with Johns Hopkins Community Physicians Heart Care in Bethesda, Maryland, Dr. Yuri Daychak and I spoke about this. And this is primarily because of my involvement with Widow Care, that we've had clients of ours at Widow Care who've passed after losing their spouses, and their hearts were broken. And we looked into this and discovered that this really is a syndrome called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Cardiomyopathy is essentially anything that's not quite right with the heart when the heart isn't working the way that it was intended. It can also be induced by stress. So let me explain this phenomenon. If you know somebody who's a widow or a widower and they are struggling with great sadness, they've just lost their spouse, be aware of how you need to be intentional in engaging with them and helping them to talk through the pain that they're suffering, okay? Because it's very important, because it's the internalization a lot of times of the pain and the sadness that actually leads to this. Grief causes physical symptoms. Number one, it changes your appetite. Generally, it causes sometimes body pain. You actually feel pain in your body because of it. And it's really just the way the brain processes pain, according to Dr. Daychak. Scans carried out by the University of California, Los Angeles, scientists have shown that the part of the brain that deals with physical pain, called the anterior cingulate cortex, processes emotional pain too. So you've got emotional and physical pain being sourced and being processed through the same location, the anterior cingulate cortex. Broken heart syndrome could be misdiagnosed as a heart attack because the symptoms and test results are somewhat similar. In fact, tests have shown dramatic changes in rhythm, blood substances that are typical of a heart attack, but unlike a heart attack, there's no evidence of a blocked heart artery in the broken heart syndrome. Usually, it's not fatal, okay? And instead, it's usually treatable. So you can work through the process, but you sometimes need some help. And there's really, from a prevention standpoint, you and I cannot prevent the circumstances in life that ultimately lead us to struggling with this. If someone dies suddenly in a car accident, someone has been dying and now finally dies, and you love that person, then the sadness that will carry. We had a Widow Care dinner, which was a dim sum dinner. We do a variety of events for widows and widowers. You can get more information at widowcare.org on that if you're a widow and widower, and there are over 100,000 widows and widowers in the D.C. region. So finding a combination, a connection with other widows and widowers is very important, okay? Physical effects of the grieving process can increase stress levels. They can cause other problems. They can lead to shortness of breath. And women are more likely to experience this than men. Although, one of my real estate clients, he lost his wife after a very long battle with Alzheimer's, and he moved out of his home into a retirement community. And after he had moved into the retirement community and was there just a few weeks, he passed away. Although he was healthy, he might in fact have died of the same issue. He missed his wife and loved his wife very, very dearly. So in research, Dr. Daychak has looked into what's called the widowhood effect, where a person has a 66% increased chance of passing away within the first 3 months of losing their spouse. Now, that widowhood effect or broken heart syndrome effect, these are chances that they can happen. The way that I handle stress, the way you handle stress, the way somebody else handles stress is going to always be different. Be on the lookout. And if you're feeling these pains, recognize it. Get with your kids. Get with your loved ones. Get with a counselor. Work through the grief that you're feeling. Your life is valuable to those who you have in your life now, even if the one that you loved is gone now. Well, let's brighten things up a bit. Let's bring in Stuart Rosenthal. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Eric.
Glad you could join us again. As always, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
So thebeaconnewspapers.com is your website.
That's right.
And that's where any of our listeners could read important information about what it's like to live after 50 and good insight into how to live a successful life that way. What do you have to share with us today?
Well, in our health section in the April issue, which is out now, interesting study, which I was surprised at. They analyzed more than 42,000 prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs, and they found that the inactive ingredients, all drugs have inactive ingredients that have, you know, for shelf life or taste or absorption or something, that many of them, in fact, a huge number of them, have lactose, gluten, food dyes associated with allergic reactions, various things that people might actually get ill from the inactive ingredients. People don't know about them because it's not listed on the instructions.
Inactive ingredients,
right,
may actually have a negative impact.
That's right.
And we don't focus on it.
That's
because
right.
We don't think it's active.
And it's fairly rare that people really have enough trouble from it that they have to report to their doctor. But it's something to ask about if you have gluten intolerance or lactose intolerance.
Good to know. Pay attention to those inactive ingredients as well as the active ingredients in your prescription drugs. Okay, Stuart, thank you so much for always bringing insight from the Beacon newspapers. Folks, if you've wondered what are the top 15 improvements you could make to your home to get the most money, we're going to play a little game. I'm going to tell you right now, if you submit to us here at radio@ericstewartgroup.com your top 15 items that you believe that are the most profitable home features that you believe, if you are picked, we're going to give away two pairs of Washington Capitals tickets for the correct submissions here from the show. So what you need to do is just put together a list of what you believe are the top 15 items that are the most profitable home features for sellers hoping to close the sale of their home quickly. Okay? Do that. Send it to radio@ericstewartgroup.com. And if you get the most right answers of, and let's say there's, look, depending on the number of entrants and how many you get right, you'll be entered in to win potentially a pair of tickets to the Cap. So we'll draw out of all the entrants the top answers. And let's say there's five people who've answered them all correctly. Then we'll pick out of the top five. Two people will be chosen out of that. Quite frankly, this is not going to be an easy task in the sense that you can come up with 15, but you have no idea what I have, right? So I've done a lot of research on this, and I want to bring this opportunity for a little fun on the Sunday morning to you. So write it down. Write down 15 items. Shoot me an email. It could be a single sentence with those 15 items with your name and your email. And if you don't mind, put a phone number in there as well, just so we can verify any questions that we have. And shoot it to radio@ericstewartgroup.com for more information.
Money. I got money.
I read an article this past week about a guy who is buying lots and lots of real estate in Miami, and I'm seeing this is true in other places. He is my age, mid-50s. He's got a high tolerance for debt and risk, according to the article that I read. And the reality is he's willing to take the risk of owning a lot of condominiums that he doesn't own yet. He's purchased a bunch of condos with the idea that he's going to rent them out. And these aren't inexpensive condominiums, folks. These are $2-3 million condos. that he's going to rent them out and hope to then profit on the sale of them, or possibly, now get this, if you buy a place for $1 million and you move into it and you can sell it for $1.5 million and you've lived in it for 2 out of 5 years, you and your spouse combined capital gains exclusion is $500,000. For a single, it would be $250,000. So you can do that every 2 years. I think this guy, his ambition is to accomplish the purchase, the rental of real estate, and the increase over time based on demand, and be able to rotate through these condominiums over the next 15 years, catching the capital gains each year, and then not having the tax due. I wish him well. It sounds risky to me. Perhaps you have a good story about investing in real estate. Maybe you have a story that would blow our listeners' minds. It's so fascinating. I'd love to hear from you. Send me your ideas for upcoming show content at radio@ericstewartgroup.com, and we'll do a little interview with you about that. It can remain anonymous. You do not have to disclose who you are on the show. We can simply have the conversation, albeit if you want to be known, we can share that too. Well, all right. It's time to turn our attention to our very special guest, Helen Flynn. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Eric.
What do you have for us?
Well, you know, we've spent years preparing for the next rung on the ladder of our lives. So many years of school, preparing for jobs that they too require constant training. At the same time, we've been enrolled in the school of life, learning how to balance relationships, families, personal growth, and so on. Then we hit a vast space of uncharted waters. The good news is that there are more and more choices available for every aspect of our lives, but it takes commitment and effort to navigate new challenges and find joy.
Helen Flynn with the Senior Moment. Helen, I love the thoughts you bring to the show each week. Thank you for sharing that. Well, that wraps it up for Senior Solutions again. Find us on Spotify at Senior Solutions. I'm Eric Stewart of the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. I'll see you next week.
You know you can hurt yourself fooling with too much stuff.
Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper is meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication, and to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about the Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766, or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.